Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As we begin, we're in the true presence of the Lord. We are called to gather today together as the family of the Lord. We've prayed with the prayer of the church, the song of the church. We heard those words of St. Peter that a new heavens and a new earth are coming. The words of the prophet Ezekiel that the Lord wants to write. He wants to plant a new law in our hearts. And today is a day where we come away with our Lord to rest for a while. We let all the other cares and concerns stay at home. And we come before the Lord Himself. So the director of our time, the director of our hearts, the one who desires to write something special today in our hearts, is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus who is truly present here. So this morning, most of all, the most important thing is for us simply to have time with Him. For each of you to have time to be refreshed in the Lord, to have some time of quiet. As the morning is structured, we'll have some reflections. The reflections will all be based on two passages of sacred Scripture. And there is a flow to the day. There is a flow to the day that is ordered for your hearts, and my heart, and also for your mission. Your mission as catechisti, as the catechists, as those who are called to dazzle those, to dazzle others with the light of Christ. The catechist is the one who is called to instruct, but the Greek word also has its origin, the one who instructs by awakening the heart of the student. So the catechist has to be awakened. The catechist has to be one who's been transfigured, by the gaze of Christ. It's Christ who gazes upon us. As we begin to feel His gaze, His humility, His tenderness, His all-powerful, abiding presence in the Holy Eucharist, we begin to also gaze upon Him. And that interior gaze, the peace of the interior gaze, is the source of all catechesis. It is the power of all catechesis. It is the strength of the life of the church. So we are called today to be dazzled by His love, to be dazzled by His silence and tenderness, His humility and His grace, so that we in turn may dazzle others with the one whom we love. Our meditations this morning will go to the origins of all catechesis. Then we will look at the shape and the form and the model and the exemplar, the one in whose life we are called to participate as catechists. And then following our quiet time in the morning, we'll have lunch, and it will be our gregarious time together. We'll assemble again, and we will talk about the sustenance, our ongoing sustenance as catechists. So our origin, our model, and our sustenance in catechesis. These will be the three gifts we desire to be rooted in today for the whole year. We'll begin with the sacred scriptures, and that's Sinai of the gospel. If there is a sacred place of abundant life, my brothers and sisters, where we are called to be nourished every day in our lives, it is the gospel. The pages of the gospel, the most sacred texts ever written, because they disclose to us the interior life of Christ. St. Jerome says that to be ignorant of Scripture is to be ignorant of Christ. And the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, De Verbum, Chapter 2, says that Christ is not only the mediator of revelation, not only the mediator of God's giving Himself to us, but He is the fullness. And we encounter that fullness in a particular way in the prayer of the church, as we encounter the Lord substantially, truly present in the Eucharist. And in our prayer lives, those words that are like branding irons that seal for us the face of Christ in our own hearts, the Gospels. And in the Gospels, there are some places that are more sacred than others. Even in the Gospels, There are certain places on the mountain where you want to go to the top and be with the Lord. To be with that place where the Lord Jesus is alone with the Father. It is from the prayer of Jesus Christ that every vocation, every office, and every sacrament in the church originates. Because there's the communion between Father and Son, the life of the Spirit, that is the life breath of the church. So when we encounter the Lord in the Scriptures in a particular way, we encounter His prayer for us. So we'll begin with what the church has come to call the priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 17. And these sacred words of the gospel where He reveals to us His own heart. How He prays, for whom He prays, and why He prays. And we're all included in that. And the church today, and your mission today, and now in the parish of St. Patrick's as catechists, originates here. In this prayer, in this night, when He is gathered with the apostles, the last night of His earthly life, the life when He gives His will and His testament and the inheritance that He'll give us as His disciples. So let's listen to Him. When Jesus said this, He raised His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to Your Son so that Your Son may glorify You, just as You gave Him authority over all people, so that He may give eternal life to all You gave Him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know You, the only true God, and the One whom You sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified You on earth by accomplishing the work that You gave Me to do. Now glorify Me, Father, with You, with the glory that I had with You before the world began. I revealed Your name to those whom You gave Me out of the world. They belong to You, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. I gave them Your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate Myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to You, Lord. The gospel wipe away our sins.
My brothers and sisters, what has the Lord prayed for? What has He prayed for us today to receive? Of all the words, and whatever words you sense, whatever words you sense the Lord speaking to you, and even if there are no words, for the Word of God can also speak without them, abide in those words. Abide in those words, abide in His presence, and allow His presence simply to communicate Himself to your hearts, to my heart. But if there are a few words from His prayer that I'd like for us to receive and to abide in this first part of the day, are those simple and sacred words of His prayer, "Father, consecrate them in the truth." My brothers and sisters, our identity, every gift we receive in the Holy Spirit, every office and every task the church entrusts to us originates from baptism. Baptism is that sacred sacrament where we are consecrated to God, where we are set apart as a kingdom of priests, as a holy nation. And there are three munera, there are three munitions of Christ Himself which we receive and in which we participate as the baptized. We say that we are kings with Christ because our inheritance is the inheritance of Christ in the kingdom of God. And we are called to work and to cooperate in building up the kingdom of God. We are also called to be priests. Every baptized Christian is called to unite ourselves with the priestly sacrifice of the Lord. And if we've seen the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, where Paul says, make of yourselves, make of your bodies, a living sacrifice. That means that everything in our lives is called to be a fitting worship to God. And what is fitting worship to God? To love one another as Christ has loved us. As we receive the consecration of baptism, we receive our inheritance, and we make of all and every dimension of our lives a sacred offering to God. And there is another office, there is another dimension of the Lord's own life, of His own consecration in which we participate. And that is the prophetic office of Christ, the prophetic office of the church. And the catechist is one who is called deeply into the interior prophetic office of Christ and the prophetic mission of the church. And the prophet is not first one who sees the future. The prophet is one who has been totally claimed by God, who has surrendered his rights or her rights to his own life and is disposed to God's work. The prophet is one who hears the voice of God so that the voice of God, the sacred word communicated, can abide in his heart, so the word can be enfleshed in his heart. And the consecration that the Lord prays for all of us, and especially for you as catechists, is to be consecrated in the truth. Consecrated in the truth. It is for that consecration where He says, your word is truth. I consecrate myself for them that they may be truly consecrated. How does He consecrate us, my brothers and sisters? How does the Lord Jesus consecrate us in the truth? There is a sacred substance in Scripture that makes things holy. There is a sacred substance in Scripture that sets things apart and prepares them for the Lord. And it is blood. Blood is what consecrates the holy people of Israel at the base of Sinai. Blood is what makes the altar of God holy. Blood is what consecrates the priests of God. And blood is a sign of life. But why would the Scriptures mediate for us the reality of being consecrated with blood? It's because blood means we become one life with God. It means that we are the sacred things of God, the sacred vessels in the temple and the tabernacle, are made one with us as we are consecrated in that same blood. And in the Gospel of John, what is the pinnacle? What is the consummation? What is the perfection of the Gospel? When the Lord Jesus' heart is pierced. And what flows from His side? Blood and water. Blood that is a sign of a new priestly people being consecrated, and water as a sign of the gift that His sacred humanity is the fullness where the divinity dwells, and He gives us the Spirit. So previously in chapter 7 of John, He would say that those who believe in Me, from within them fountains of life-giving water will arise. My brothers and sisters, later He will pray, you will receive an advocate, the Spirit of truth, who will lead you into all truth. Consecrate them in truth. Your word is truth. Do we see now? Do we see the consecration, the blood of Jesus? The consecration in His, by His life is to give us the gift of the sacred water of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who leads us into all truth. The Spirit who is truth. And so the prophetic identity of the church, the prophetic identity of the catechist, is to originate and abide in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the power and the strength of all catechesis. My brothers and sisters, as catechists, we are called to be renewed by the Spirit of God, to understand and to call upon the gifts of the Spirit, which we have all received in baptism, to see the fruits of the Spirit as they are manifest in our lives, the fruits of the Spirit which are confirming signs of our fidelity to God. There is another dimension to this consecration when the Lord Jesus says, "Consecrate them in the truth." In the prologue of the Gospel of John, the evangelist states that the law came, was given through Moses, but the grace and the truth has become through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth are two dimensions of the Lord's covenantal promises. Grace, another word for grace, is chesed, His steadfast love. And truth, aletheia, is chemet, is His covenant fidelity. My brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus prays, consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. He is consecrating us in the covenantal fidelity of God. Truth not first as a formula, not first as a series of true propositions that order our lives, which is also true, but truth as the Lord's fidelity to us, as the perpetual, perennial, life-giving fountain where we can always go to be nourished and nurtured, where we can always go to receive our strength. Who is the catechist of the church? Who is the one that leads us into all truth? Who is the one whom we must invoke before, during, and after every catechesis? Who is the one we have to go to be guided by, to prepare our class lessons, to discern the specific content of each class? The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the catechist. The Holy Spirit is the one who awakens our hearts and opens our minds and dazzles us and begins to reveal to us the face of Christ. The object of our contemplation, the one whom our hearts seek, is Christ. And we are able to seek Him and to abide in Him in the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, this whole year, every catechetical work, for it to bear fruit that will last, must originate in the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth that leads us into all truth is the same Spirit that continues to pour from the pierced heart now risen of our Lord Jesus. The catechist is called to walk in the Spirit of truth. As we live and move and have our being in the prophetic office of the church who is the home of the Holy Spirit, the catechist then is called to befriend and to know the movements of the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. St. Paul will write in his letter to the Romans, chapter 5, that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. Later in Romans chapter 8, for the law of the Spirit of life has liberated you from the law of sin and death. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is named and is given to us by God. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Lord's covenantal fidelity that is poured into our hearts. As we pray with sacred scripture, it is the Spirit whom we are called to invoke to lead us into all truth. It is the Spirit that we are called to invoke who will highlight for us those words in our prayer, those words in our curriculum that we are called to highlight in the hearts of the students that we teach. My brothers and sisters, Christ is the teacher. Christ is the one who is the fullness of truth, and the one who leads us into that fullness is the Holy Spirit. We have received that consecration by baptism. Baptism is our strength. It is the origin. It is the sustenance of every gift. It is the origin and the sustenance of all catechesis.